Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent,
brutally honest,
and biblically sound, and offering both hope and help for men. I didn't even say that very well. Biblically sound. Okay. Now, you came here to listen to this because you're having a weird day or weird evening, or you had nothing better to do. And you said, hey, yeah, that's right, Band of Brothers Radio. I'll go check out that podcast. And, yeah, today it's on with Eric and Raul. Yeah, and they're talking about boundaries. I don't know what that means. It's not about building fences, literally. It's not.
No?
It could, but, you know, it's similar to that.
Yeah,
similar. We're going to create a divide, in a sense. Anyway, So that's what our topic is. Our main topic is on boundaries. In the studio with me today, of course, is the man in brown. Yes, it's the Ups man, Eric.
The Mib. You haven't called me the Mib in a while. I kind of like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
But Mib. Every time I see Mib and I look at you, I keep thinking of that head that you have of Beaker.
Why do you think of my Beaker costume?
Because it sounds like Mib, Mib, Mib. I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, you'd have to. He has a Beaker's costume that he wore on occasion. He wears them.
the occasion is Halloween.
Yes, I know. But it was very good. It's a very good costume. And I just every time I see you, I can't get that out of my head. I always see Beaker at the same time. So anyway, all right, some guys sitting there going, I don't understand what's going on here. I thought this was a Christian show. Well, it is. You know, we believe in Jesus, and we like to always kind of let you know what the show's about, and then we like to kick into a little encouragement for the men. And I don't know if you're ready for an encouragement or not. Always ready.
I've had something on my mind recently. I had a discussion this week with a lady. She comes up to me and she says, you know, because I know her, and she says, you seem like a reasonable person. Can I ask you a question?
A reasonable person.
Thanks.
There's a reasonable man.
So her issue is that her daughter and son-in-law and two children are living in her house because he's out of work, and so they're trying to help him out. And it seems that it's become an enabling thing that's going on. And she's just really frustrated and wanted to know if she was wrong to let him know how she feels about the fact that they're mooching off of her and the frustrations that she has because this guy won't even wash any dishes. Mm. He's perfectly happy to sit back and eat the food, but when it comes to doing the dishes, those aren't my dishes. Ooh. So my fur's all standing up on end, if you know what I'm talking about. And so I just wanted to, you know, there's a lot of issues here.
Sure.
One of them is, you know, the son-in-law who is refusing to work. Where Scripture is clear, if you will not work, you also will not eat. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the mandate there. We are told to work. We're told to work in the garden before the fall.
Amen.
Work. Tend the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a part of who God has designed us to be. And so, guys, if you are out of work and are needing work, then you have a job. And that eight-hour-a-day job is defined work.
That's right.
You know, do what you have to be a man who supports your family. You, as men, we're set up as protectors of our family, and that includes giving them what they need to survive. Certainly we have, you know, people that love us and we can fall back on in hard times, but we don't want to abuse that because we're relational people, right? We don't want to abuse the relationships that we have, but it becomes easy to do.
Yep.
When we get that feeling that, you know, hey, you know, I'm entitled to these things. The flip side of that is people are, you know, parents are often scared of administering tough love because, you know, it involves kicking your kids out of the house and saying, hey, you know what, I'm not going to enable this behavior any longer. You have such and such days to find a job and get out.
Yep. Yep.
That's tough.
Yep.
That's tough to do, but sometimes it needs to be done.
So how long did this conversation take with the reasonable man and this lady?
I didn't have a conversation with the son. Just the lady was asking me what she should do.
Yeah. How long did that conversation take?
Just a few minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just a few minutes. I told her what I thought, and I also told her that it should not be her who confronts the son-in-law. It should be her husband.
Yes.
Because her husband is her protector. And her husband...
Now, unless he's sitting next to the guy eating chips and watching TV and saying, no, I'm not going to do those dishes.
Right, right. And so, you know, which actually brought up even more issues when I suggested that the husband take charge and do this. So, I mean, it's the situation was, I mean, there were problems on both sides of the scale here.
So really the encouragement is men, you need to just take up responsibility.
Take responsibility
in what it is that you need to be doing. You know, by taking advantage of kindness or people who are willing to give, that is a sin. It is a sin. Truly, I mean, we see it all over the place. And I've fallen in the same trap myself at one time, a few times in my life. There's no doubt. Okay. But the simple fact is that it goes on and on and on. This world is continually trying to get men to realize that they don't have to do very much. If they only bought this or spent their money here or give their time to this or that, life will be a lot smoother. You don't have to work so hard. You don't have to do these things, you know. The fact is that the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. Whatever means that is. And let me tell you, sometimes it starts just in our thinking, in our value system, in the way that we believe, where all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want my comfort instead. That's what I deserve. You know what? We deserve nothing.
Absolutely.
So anyway.
Yeah.
How like that for encouragement?
Yeah.
We deserve nothing.
we have examples in Scripture. Yeah. We have the Apostle Paul, who, when he was traveling, refused to take, you know, lots of, you know, money and help from people. He instead said, I'm going to work. While I'm here, I'm going to work. He was a tent maker. He made tents instead of just taking from the churches that were housing him for his time when he was staying, like, in Philippi and such and such. So here's Paul, who had every right to take from the churches that he was feeding spiritually, but
yes.
He said, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to work, and I'm going to take care of what I need to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the great example, Jesus Christ himself. So here we have God, who created the heavens and the earth, mm-hmm. humbles himself in the form of a man, and then on the night that he was betrayed, he washes the feet of his
mm-hmm.
disciples,
mm-hmm.
humbles himself even further.
Yep.
He washes the feet of those 12 sinful people that are following him around, including the one who was just about to betray him. He humbled
yep.
himself before people, and he was a servant. So my encouragement is to be a servant to the people that God has placed in our lives.
Amen. Amen. There you go. Think of others more highly than yourself.
Amen.
All right. So let's segue right into this thing called boundaries. Perfect example with this lady coming up to a reasonable man and asking him what he thought.
You seem like a reasonable guy. Thanks.
And truly, boundaries are things that we sit there and we go, is it necessary for us to have? Now, first off, we all know about boundaries a little bit, because if you're married or you have a girlfriend or have had a girlfriend at one time or another, there are probably some boundaries that were thrown up and you didn't like. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to kiss you. No, you cannot touch me like that. No, whatever. Okay, so that's a boundary. We don't necessarily like boundaries. We don't like to be kept out.
Right.
Or fenced in, yeah. Or whatever.
I want what I want, and I don't want you to tell me what I want.
Yes, and if you don't want to give it to me, I'll go somewhere else and find someone who will. Well, mm-hmm. Now, if she were smart, she would say, that's right, you go find someone else, and then go from there. But sometimes that doesn't happen. But what do boundaries, you wanted to, I know you wanted to bring this up for a reason, so reasonable man. Is there a reason that you wanted to talk about boundaries today?
Well, the reason is that I had a discussion with another gentleman recently, and he didn't really have a whole lot in the way of boundaries, and so I was saying that for his own life. Mm-hmm. So I said, when we talk again next, I'd like for you to make a list of some of the ways that you can establish boundaries in your life so that you don't start down a path that will lead you into sin. So, if when we take the time to do that, to reflect on how the Holy Spirit is working in us, because God is going to tell you.
Yes.
You know, the Holy Spirit, if you want to resist sin, God is going to help you in that endeavor. He will show you where it is that you're struggling.
Yep.
And one of the things that came up for him was when he went to the gym,
mm-hmm.
he was having a really difficult time not
focusing. Yeah.
Or focusing in the wrong place.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, a guy that he was there with, another Christian guy, called him on it. and I'm like, good. Okay, so this is exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes,
this is what I want you to do, okay? When you go to the gym, make sure that you're with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And let him know that you have a difficulty in this area, and it's okay for him to call you on it.
Yeah.
So there he has established a boundary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not just the boundary, but he's established somebody to help him with that boundary.
Here's a description or a definition of a boundary, okay? A boundary is a dividing line. In geography, a boundary is that which marks the end of one property or jurisdiction and the beginning of another, okay? Sometimes it's a fence or sometimes it's just a marker of some sort. In interpersonal relationships, a boundary is what divides one person from another, okay? So that each can have separate identities, responsibilities, and privileges, okay? A boundary creates necessary space between individuals. Healthy boundaries define expectations and show respect for others, okay?
Hmm.
So boundaries can encompass quite a few things. Matter of fact, everything in our lives, okay?
Well, there's, interestingly enough, one of the things that I was thinking of wasn't mentioned in here.
Which was?
And the fact that a boundary, if you think of it like a fence, mm-hmm. a fence has two...
Barbed wire?
Barbed wire. Cantina wire. That's the stuff that's all loopy and razor sharp.
Yes.
I didn't know that until a while ago. It's called cantina wire. Anyways, moving on.
Squirrel.
Okay. What was I talking about?
The fence. Yes.
Okay. The purpose of a fence can be twofold. One is to keep something in to keep it safe.
Right.
Another purpose of the fence is to keep something out so that that dangerous thing doesn't come in.
Yes.
So there's a twofold purpose to a fence. Yes. Now, sometimes you need the fence for one reason or the other reason.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you need the fence for both reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you could just look at it in regards to a sexual relationship with your wife. You have boundaries there. And you have a fence that you set up around that, and it is one, to protect the sanctity of the of that relationship that you have with your wife, and two, to protect it from the outside harm that would come in.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Doesn't the Bible say that her body is my body? My body is her body, so there should not be any boundaries in the bedroom with me and my wife. He didn't know I was going to ask you to bring this up.
Well, okay.
Come on, but, you know there's a guy listening that saying this, you know?
Okay, fine. Then what is it that that she's going to do that's going to make you uncomfortable? See, is that okay? You see, we have to look at it from both perspectives. If I say that I can go ahead and do something that makes my wife uncomfortable because it's, you know, her body is my body, so I get to do with it what I want. Well, it also says the converse. She gets to do whatever she wants to you. Now, there's some really terrible things that could come of this.
Like, I don't want to do nothing with that body.
But that wasn't the intent of the scripture. The intent of the scripture was to cherish.
Right. Well, we are to love our wives as Christ loves the church.
Exactly.
I mean, he died for us. I mean, he gave it all up for us. Are we willing to do that for our wives? See, so I only say that in tongue-in-cheek, that I wanted guys to be, because I know some of the responses that they would be thinking and listening to this thing on boundaries. When you said boundaries in the bedroom, wait a minute. Well, yeah, there are. Yes, yeah. There are.
Yes. Our wives are our helpmates. And, you know, part of that, you know, is the sexual relationship that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meant to, you know, we are supposed to be, we are designed to be and supposed to be engaged in those acts of sexuality. It's the way God made us.
Right.
It's, you know, it relieves stress. It creates bonding. It creates intimacy.
Yes.
So the, you know, if we say that, you know, her body is mine and mine is hers, that's just to say that stop neglecting each other.
Right, right.
And Paul goes on to say that if you do, you know, decide to not have sex for a while,
right,
that it needs to be for a short period of time, and you need to pray.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way that we're designed. And people can take scripture and twist it any way that they want to.
So really, these boundaries, like we had mentioned earlier, is it encompasses everything in our lives. I mean, you have to have boundaries that work. Okay, I remember being in a sales meeting that was called at the last minute in our, and we didn't have offices, we had cubicles, right? And I remember, and we had male and female salespeople and so on and so forth. And I remember the guy said, okay, everyone just gather in here real quick. And there was no place to sit. Some guys had a desk or whatnot. And I remember one of the sales female, walked up to the guy who was sitting at his desk and kind of open in a sense. She said, "There's nowhere to sit. Let me sit on your lap." Well, here's what was really weird. She was not married, but he was. But he was friendly and so on and so forth. And, you know, and she sat on his lap without, you know, and he could have easily said, "No, here, why don't you just take the seat?" But no, she sat on the lap and everyone just, and try not to make a big deal of it, and it's not like you're wondering, whoa, because it's a secular world. A lot of people just think, no big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it caught my attention. I just thought, wow, that's pretty courageous to do something like that.
Courageous.
I'm just trying to be kind here, but with no names or anything like that. But these are the type of things where a boundary needed to be put up, but he didn't put one up, right? Could have easily have given up his seat or said, no, that's not going to happen here. Or whatever, but the fact is that he didn't, and that's not a good thing. I mean, if I did that today and allowed somebody, a woman, to sit on my lap in a meeting, and my wife is there, or people that I know, come on, what are you guys going to say? You go, whoa, somebody hopefully will say something to me.
Yeah,
you know,
there certainly is an appearance of impropriety going
exactly.
on, and Scripture actually says, don't even have
a hint of immorality.
Yeah.
Immorality, sexual immorality.
Yep.
Not even a hint of it.
Yep. Even if it is legitimate, but it might look like it's not. We need to avoid it.
Yep.
We are the face of Christ to this world. You and I, we may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads.
Amen.
You know? So, yeah, so these boundaries are important if we are going to be, you know, truly representing the Christ who saves us.
Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about a little bit more about what these boundaries, biblically, are they even mentioned in the Bible? You know, you might be surprised at how the Bible actually reminds us of how important boundaries are. We'll be right back. You're listening to Bannon Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Whatever I need to be for you, Lord, because, you know, really what it comes down to is that we are reflections of Jesus Christ. We're to emulate who he is. And you're listening to this show because you are a believer, or you're soon to be a believer, okay? And or you just want to say, man, how do I get off track? You know, how do I get back on track? And you want to know about these boundaries that sometimes that maybe we've abused someone else's boundaries. Maybe they put them up, but we used a means of acquiring our desire, okay, whatever that is, okay? Mm. It could be verbally or physically. Hopefully that it's the point is that when boundaries are up, we need to respect them. We really do need to respect someone else's boundaries.
Right.
Okay? And we need to put ours up, and we need to hold fast to those, okay? Now, the Bible talks about boundaries not necessarily as boundaries. You'll hear it in stories on different things that have taken place. But self-control is mentioned as a fruit of the Spirit. It's also mentioned in other areas of the New Testament and where it talks about that I need to be able to, you know, when I put up a boundary, I need to have self-control. Because if I say, no, I don't need to be looking at women who are in bathing suits on the beach, mm-hmm. okay? That's a boundary that I'm putting up for myself, right? So what I try to do is avoid places where it's hot out and there's water nearby, you know, because that's generally what I'm going to end up being near.
Yeah. And maybe King David needed to put up a boundary to say, I will not go up on my roof at nighttime.
Yeah. I don't think that was the first time he ever saw her like that.
It happened. For people who don't realize, we're talking about the story of David when
Bathsheba.
He sinned with Bathsheba. He went up at nighttime on his roof and was watching her bathe and said, you know, I want her, go send for her and bring her to me. And he ended up sinning with Bathsheba. They had an affair.
Yep.
She got pregnant.
Yep.
And then what happened after that? It escalated. He's like, oh, I can't let anybody know what's happened here. I'll make people think that her husband Uriah is the father. And so he, called it back. And
well,
he ended up killing Uriah.
And so and the point, again, is that a boundary would have been best to have that up. And that
at
the very beginning. Well, first off, you know, and this is how controllers, manipulators, run their lives. They want to be able to get what they want, right? I don't know what a controller is like. I can't imagine what it's like. I'd have to check with you afterward. You can tell me how you do that. But but the simple fact is that even in this case here with King David, he was actually, there was a war going on. He should have been at the front lines.
Yep.
He should have been at the war, but he's back at the palace because he knew that there was going to, anyway.
Yeah.
The point is, boundaries in the Bible, I think, when it talks about self-control. One of the things that, as I go to the book of Titus in the New Testament, book of Titus chapter 2, verse 12, and I'll start with 11, but 12 is the one I wanted. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions." Training us, okay? Mm. "To live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age." Okay? I love the way that is actually stated in my ESV here, because it's talking about in the present age. That means that in our age, where we're at right now, not just the one that he's at of speaking that in that letter.
Yeah, it's still applicable to us.
Absolutely.
Because men are men. You know, the sinfulness of man is entirely the same as the sinfulness of man during the time that this letter to Titus was written.
Yes. Now, and you've got one from the Old Testament that doesn't say anything about self-control. It's really just...
Well, from Job chapter 31, verse 1. Job says, "I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin?"
Yes.
Meaning a young lady, a young, mm-hmm. beautiful woman. And so, you know, Job here, he's saying, I'm going to establish a boundary, and I'm going to not, you know, not sin in my looking at a woman.
Right.
You know, and in today's age, Raul, we have the exact same problem, not just in the way that Job did, but we have this thing called the internet, and just a click away is all of the images that we could ever sinfully desire to see.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that the men here listening have just decided to click on this link instead of the other kind of link.
Yeah.
But the fact remains is that it's available. And just to share my own experience with that, you know, I set for myself boundaries.
Yes.
A long time ago. And I would say, okay, Eric, I know that you struggle with this internet pornography. You are not going to turn the computer on after everybody's gone to bed.
Yep.
Or you are not going to turn the computer on when people are not at home.
Yes.
Well, see, the problem with that was that I didn't tell anybody that I had set up these boundaries for myself. Mm-hmm. And my heart being wicked beyond all measure, well, I don't think that I need to tell you exactly what took place.
You convinced yourself. You sold yourself. Oh, you don't have to pay attention to yourself.
But you see, the decision that I made was completely powerless,
right?
Because I didn't bring anybody else. No, I didn't humble myself at all.
And I like that word. It was powerless until you brought somebody else into, or when you do.
Okay? Right.
Then now you have accountability, which scares a lot of men, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just like responsibility. Oh, a couple of words there that it's just,
yeah. So for the guy who says, I've made a covenant with my eyes not to gaze at a virgin. So if you have somebody who's willing to hold you accountable and says, have you put anything in front of your eyes that is unhealthy for you?
Yeah.
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
That's a tough question for us guys because, you know, I don't want to be accountable to somebody. I want to go and I want to do the things that I want to do. I want to do the things that make me happy and bring me comfort. Even, you know, I'm talking about the flesh in Eric wants to do these things.
Right.
But I know that the flesh and the spirit are in battle, and the deeds of the flesh, they are destructive to my spiritual walk with Christ.
Right.
You know, so these boundaries, yeah, we can set them up. We can set up the boundaries all that we want, but, you know, if I don't tell anybody about it and I put a gate in there that's really easy to open and just walk right through.
Here's a boundary that another one here that just kind of makes us uncomfortable sometimes because we go, yeah, but what about, here it is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Okay? So that alone is right there saying to us, we're going, well, now wait a minute. What about my buddies? You know, they don't go to church yet, but I'm really working on trying to get them to go to church. Oh, really? Or are you just trying to have a little vicarious pleasure of being in their presence and doing the activities that they enjoy doing
Right.
You know?
Now, it's not to say that it's wrong to have non-Christian friends.
No, it's not.
But the thing that I think you're trying to really get at here is if your friends, knowing that you're a Christian, knowingly take you down a road that leads you into sinful activities, are they truly acting like your friends? At
yes.
that point,
yes.
can we honestly call them a friend?
Yes.
Proverbs tells us that a friend loves at all times.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if somebody is taking us down a bad road, then that's not a loving act.
You know, I think what Paul's wanting here is that not to have these binding relationships, that they are everything. They are my closest friend and so on and so forth. I think that's what he's talking about. Because really what that's going to do is that's going to self-destruct your relationship with Jesus. It's going to be a battle every time, all day, every day. Okay? And that's why he's so, you know, to marry someone who is an unbeliever. That is something that, you know, you just don't even want to go there necessarily. And mm-hmm. you know right from the get-go, unless you're at that point where you've been dating this woman for 6 years, but, you know, 6 months ago you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, it might be a little different circumstances where it's not a matter of just throwing her out completely, but your life has changed and hopefully will change. Now, if she comes on board with that change, then there's totally, that's okay. But the fact is that Paul's just trying to remind us not to seek binding relationships that are going to be even more challenging, because this is my very
right.
closest friend. And, you know, we've shared so many things together. And okay, the point is starting new ones is really what it comes down to. Okay, you have to deal with these older ones. See, here's what I found out is that as soon as I became a follower of Christ, my life started changing, living differently. I all of a sudden I found myself not necessarily having these people invite me over all the time to their gatherings and everything because they didn't want to hear about the things I had to say, right?
Yeah.
Automatically takes place, that sever from that, in that relationship takes place automatically. I'm getting a look. How about you? Are you getting a look from?
Yeah, well, before we go to break, I just got to say one thing real quick. It's a tough thing, but, you know, sometimes we have to sacrifice our friendships at the altar of Christ for his purpose and his glory. And it's a tough thing.
All right. We'll come back. What are we going to talk about?
You know, we'll talk about some other ways that that we can set up some of these boundaries and, you know, maybe starting getting some practical applications.
Well, you handled that well. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Trustworthy Savior, my hope is in the Lord.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I was just making a remark as I was reading something in Romans that I said some of these verses that Paul has in Romans are really long. It's like, okay.
You're running out of breath. You're like, where's the period?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, a comma, something. So with boundaries, man, it's the application of a boundary in our lives, is it something that we just come up with an idea that we should do this? Or is it something, how do we go about coming up with what a boundary should be in our lives? What do you think?
Well, you know, this is where fellowship is so important.
Whoa. What do you mean? I can't do this by myself? Why do I need someone else?
Well, just listen.
Okay.
All right. Now, remember back in grade school when you had to turn in an essay?
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you read your paper, and you read it, and you reread it, and you're looking for mistakes.
Yes.
Right? Well, the thing is that you made the mistake, and the fact that you made the mistake makes you kind of blind to the mistake, right? The misspelling.
Mm-hmm.
I can hand that paper to somebody else, and they look at it and say, oh, well, you misspelled the word belief.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it, but this other person saw it. Well, in the same way, when we, you know, ask for the help of other people, they can sometimes see things that we can't see because we're blinded by the fact that we make the same mistakes over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like, hey, this is the way it's done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so other people can speak into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit speaks through the people in our lives.
Right.
I don't want to put this all in the sense that you know that we're just going about this in a worldly way, but you know the Holy Spirit speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks directly to me. The Holy Spirit speaks directly to you, Raul, and it may be that that God has laid something on your heart to speak into my life. Now, if you do that, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, does this line up with Scripture?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but that's just me. But the point that I'm getting at with this is that we're not meant to do this alone. So when I bring somebody else or even multiple people into it, you know, mentors or accountability partners or just other Christian friends, you know, then what I'm allowing to happen is I'm allowing other people to speak into my life and to help me with my Christian walk, with my endeavor to be holy.
Right, right.
Because I want to avoid sin.
Yes.
And in avoiding sin, I want to be holy as God is holy.
Yes.
And that's the endeavor of the Christian. That's what we're striving for.
It's also a command from God.
Yes.
To be holy. It's not a suggestion. It's a command.
Yeah, okay? It is.
And the same as being perfect, because he is perfect. You know, these boundaries, these applications on these things are when we bring somebody else. Let's go back to this thing that we used at the beginning of the show on marriages, okay, in sexual intimacy with our wives. There need to be boundaries. They're not so much in, of possibly respecting her what she's comfortable with or not comfortable with, okay, and vice versa, okay? But also, what are you to be visualizing or seeing when you guys go to a movie together? Do you go to movies that have sex in them? Are they R-rated movies? Because it's with your wife and you think it's okay? You know, these are boundaries that sometimes need to come up. The wife may say, no, I'm not going to watch that movie. You shouldn't be watching it either.
Mm-hmm.
And if your next word is, yeah, but, then you're wrong, okay? Whenever you say but, brother, that means that you're wrong. You're trying to get your way, okay? The fact is that what needs to take place is that you want to safeguard that intimacy that you have with your wife, or you want to begin and start it off on the right foot, okay? But you want to be able to put up that boundary of saying, you know what, we won't watch movies or TV shows, or I won't look at commercials, Victoria's Secret or GoDaddy commercials or whatever that has a woman that, you know, inappropriately dressed or acting in a certain, you know, they don't have to be inappropriately dressed. They have some of these Viagra commercials. You see them. I mean, the woman is there erotically trying to tell you that whether you need it or not, you need this. And, start thinking, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're watching that with your wife. What do you think she's thinking? You know, you're listening to that woman, you know. So you need to do whatever's necessary to avoid that. If that means you need to get DVR and zip through the commercials and always record something, whatever it takes, or maybe not watch the shows, or, you know, leave the room or put it on silent, not watch even the, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much of that is, you know, relational, right?
Yes.
Now, we can even take this in a different direction where, you know, I establish relationships with people, you know, like, say, in my workplace. By how do I do that? In the words that I use. So am I going to conform to what the kind of language that the world says that I should use and feel more accepted because mm-hmm. I'm willing to use certain vulgarities?
Yep.
Or am I going to establish a boundary there and say that I'm going to honor God with my mouth, even if it sets me as an outcast at work?
Yeah.
Am I going to tell that dirty joke so that these guys like me and accept me, or am I going to refrain from that?
Right.
Because it brings dishonor to the God who saves me.
Yes.
And so, and that's relational as well, because you know we're establishing relationships with these people. Mm-hmm. Now we might think that what we're doing is setting ourselves up as an outcast in those relationships, but we never know what's going on in the hearts of the people that we're around. They might be, you know, looking at us and saying, "There's something different about this guy. He yes. has joy. Mm-hmm. He acts differently than the other people. I want to find out what's going on with him because I want what he's got."
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think about that movie, My Cousin Vinny. Have you ever seen that
yes,
movie?
Yes.
You've got a bumbling lawyer, and you've got My Cousin Vinny, who seems like a complete idiot. But the first time that Vinny gets a guy up on the stand, he just rips the witness apart, right?
Yes.
And so one of the kids stands up and says, "I want that guy." Right? He said, "I want that lawyer right there." People, you know,
yes.
People want the Jesus that we have, you know, because they see mm-hmm. the Jesus in us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have these relational things that are going on.
Yep.
And it can be as simple as the words that we use.
You know, some of the things that take place on these, when we apply the boundaries as a parent, we tell our children, here are the boundaries, right? You have other names for them, rules, regulations, laws, whatever, the rules of the house, the laws of the house, whatever. But these are boundaries. And the majority of children, including ourselves, when we were children, think back, we didn't like the boundaries.
Mm-mm.
We didn't like the boundaries. No, why?
Pushed it to see how far I could get.
Exactly, exactly. So as Jesus says for us to come to him as children, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if we come to him with an attitude of being childlike, not childish, but childlike, of being willing to listen and respect and be, you know, and go forth, most children, the majority of the time, are going to question things and test it, like you said. We're the same way as followers of Christ. Here's something that maybe is different that you haven't heard before about boundaries. And we say that you need to watch what you're actually, who you're hanging out with, what they're doing. I don't want you ought not be with those type of people because it's only going to cause trouble. Because this is what happened in my life when I went this route. You know, you start hearing those things and you go, the first thing is like, I don't think that applies to me. Because we think we're different. We think we're unique. We think that nobody understands. Oh, if you only understood why I have to hang out with these people or do these things, then if you saw what happened in my life, but you couldn't because you've never been there. You don't know that. You don't know that. That's where this relationship with other people, other men in a sense, this relationship, there needs to be one. The accountability of being able to let someone else know who you are and what you are. But most of the time, we want to be secret about it because there's stuff that we're not sure of whether maybe we haven't gotten rid of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's still things going on in my life that I don't want somebody to find out. I mean, the last thing I want to do as a follower of Christ, if I'm still in active sin, conscious sin, active,
yeah.
is to hang around people who are trying not to do that. Because eventually they're going to ask me questions that I don't want to have to answer. You know, I don't want to be pinned in the corner, you know. So I'm just avoid that sort of thing. Well, the best way of doing all of this is to realize that Jesus loves you. And he has something in store for you that's greater and better than you've ever experienced before.
Amen.
And a total submission to him, you're going to be able to do that, to be able to have what these other men have that you see, I like what that guy has. And then when you go ask him how he got what he has, you go, oh, I had to do that. Whoa. Is there a shortcut version to this?
Yeah.
That's usually what we're looking for.
You know,
right?
Jesus came to give life and to give it to the full. And that's not only for eternity, but it's also for the time that we have now on this earth, that he wants us to experience life to the full. And that is according to the precepts that he has set, which are, in fact, boundaries to our lives. We have rules to live by so that we receive the blessings that he has for us in this life. And it's, it takes humbling. We need to humble ourselves. We need to bow our knee.
Yes.
To God, how God has revealed himself to us. You know what? It takes brothers. We need to be in that fellowship, ready to humble ourselves before other men.
How about you pray for our brothers who are listening right now?
Our Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have made a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would be obedient to him, to submit to Jesus daily, and to be willing to humble ourselves, Father, with the boundaries that you would lead us into. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.